God is not good. Oh, at the beginning, when he repented that he had made human beings and flooded the earth. Why? What had they done to deserve annihilation? What could they have done to deserve such wholesale slaughter? What could they have done that was so bad? God is not good.
God on Trial was the name of the TV play that you just heard a clip from, which recounts how a group of prisoners at the Auschwitz concentration camp stage a mock trial of God. The highly acclaimed play wrestles with universal questions about faith, about why there is so much suffering in the world, and what kind of God would allow it to happen, and why. After putting forward many different arguments, the play ends with the prisoners finding God guilty of breaking his covenant with the Jewish people.
Is there any other explanation? What do we see here? His power, his majesty, his might, all these things, but turned against us. He is still God, but not our God. That's what's happened to the covenant. He has made a new covenant with someone else.
Auschwitz was the Nazis' largest concentration camp, where over 1.1 million Jews alone perished. And it was exactly 65 years ago today that the camp was liberated by Soviet troops, many of whom wept when they saw the pitiful state of the survivors. Every year on this date, tens of thousands of different events are held around the world to reflect on the Nazis' extermination of over 6 million Jews and other minorities at Auschwitz and other death camps during the Second World War, and to remember the victims of subsequent genocides like that of Rwanda. Frank Cottrell-Boyce is an award-winning Catholic author and writer in Britain who wrote the screenplay for God on Trial. The idea for the TV play was taken from a book on a similar theme written by the Nobel Peace Prize winner and Holocaust survivor Eli Wiesel, and was inspired by alleged reports that a group of Auschwitz prisoners had indeed conducted a mock trial against God shortly before being taken to the camp's gas ovens. Boyce said his own faith as a Catholic was severely challenged while reading the Old Testament and doing research before writing the screenplay for God on Trial. He began by telling me how he first got involved with this project.
A producer that I'd worked with for a number of years had always wanted to make this story. It's a story that I've known since I was a teenager, and the basic story is that the rabbis in Auschwitz are supposed or are reputed to have put God on trial, and the story is that they find God guilty, and at the end they say, so God is guilty, what do we do now? And they say, let us pray, which is a very kind of neat little story, has the feel of a parable. And I think I always thought it was a true story. Then when I started researching it with Mark, the producer, we couldn't find anyone who'd witnessed it. We couldn't find any more details than that. So I kind of came to the conclusion that it was just a parable, like not like an urban myth, but like a kind of part of the folklore of Auschwitz. But since the film went out, we've had a couple of contacts with people who said that they were there and it did happen. So who knows?
Well, as we all know, it was set inside Auschwitz, the largest concentration camp, which in many ways symbolises the worst of the horrors of the Holocaust. What are your own feelings about the Holocaust, and how did this project change or modify your views on it?
I think we all grow up knowing about the Holocaust, and it's only when you kind of research it in any depth, you start to come across individual stories, and as ever, the more specific you are, the more universal your understanding becomes. It's only by kind of engaging with individual stories that you realise just how horrific it was. So 6 million means nothing to you, but when you read the individual story of a father who's made to choose between his two children, or all those horrible individual stories, that some of which are in the film, that's sort of when it starts to become vivid and it starts to give you nightmares.
And what, in your view, are the continuing consequences of the Nazi Holocaust in our modern times?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I'm not really qualified to answer what the kind of political fallout from the Holocaust is, but I did try to kind of engage in what it meant theologically, because obviously it put the Odyssey and the question of evil very firmly on the agenda for Jews and Christians. And I think one of the things that I've got out of this is a very much renewed sense of the continuities between Judaism and Christianity for me. it's kind of re-Judaized my Christianity, if you see what I mean.
God on Trial, it asks a lot of universal questions about faith, the existence of God, philosophy, and especially the question, why is there so much suffering in the world and what kind of God would allow it to happen? But there's no real answer to many of these, is there?
No, I mean, it's strange that we're talking in this in the aftermath of the Haitian earthquake, and I was actually writing it not long after the tsunami, and huge kind of natural events tend to put the question of suffering back on the map. There's no intellectual answer to the question of suffering, I don't think, really. I mean, the play kind of rehearses all the possible theological and intellectual answers that we've come up against, that we've ever had. You know, it kind of systematically goes through all of them. They're all kind of unsatisfactory, really, because in the end it's about faith, and it's about your relationship with God is a relationship. It's like a marriage, like a love affair. It has these kind of glitches and unknowns and mysteries in them. And I think in the end it's about mystery. It's about being able to accept that you don't know everything, can't know everything.
And what about the theological or otherwise arguments that the camp prisoners in Auschwitz used to condemn God?
I mean, that was very tough for me because obviously I didn't really realise it when I took it on, but the whole thrust of the story is that you have to find him guilty, and if you're going to dramatise that, you have to find the clinching argument, you have to find the worst thing that you can possibly say about God. So working on it, it did take me to a very dark place, really, and, you know, I had to read the scriptures. I did sort of take it all very seriously. I read the Torah, I read the Bible from beginning to end. I tried to put myself inside their heads and find out what was the kind of worst thing that you could say about God, which is in the film, and it is a kind of a clinching argument. And it had to be very convincing, and that was really hard for me as a Christian to write those lines, you know, to go to the darkest place that you possibly could.
Now, I know you're a Catholic, and as you said, you went to the darkest place, and you're certainly on record as saying that your faith was severely challenged by all this research you did before you wrote this play, and especially by reading certain parts of the Bible. Can you elaborate a bit on how it did challenge your faith?
I now feel very positive about it. When I first started it, the idea of putting God on trial seemed sort of blasphemous and uneasy. And I kind of took it on because I didn't want somebody else doing it. I didn't want, you know, some militant atheist writing this play. I wanted to make sure that God had the best possible counsel for the defence, which in my vanity I thought was me. And I spoke to an academic rabbi, Dan Kohn-Sherbock, who's very distinguished and brilliant, very helpful, very generous rabbi. And he said, you mustn't be afraid, because in Judaism, we have a very dynamic relationship with God. We challenge and we argue with God all the time. And I realized when I was talking to him that my own prayer life as a Catholic really comes down to please, thank you, and sorry. And that's about it. In all the prayers that I say, that it's either please, thank you, or sorry. Whereas in Judaism, there's a lot of kind of rage. Abraham bargains with God. Even Jesus, you know, is on the cross, is accusing God, why have you forsaken me? And it is a much more kind of energetic relationship. So that's the kind of positive thing I took from it. I think my faith grew like that, really. I mean, on the negative side, just God of the Old Testament is a hard God to love, you know. He's a vengeful, unpredictable, partial character, and it kind of made me appreciate how much we've grown in our understanding of God, really, reading that stuff. But it was quite difficult to read.
When he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham should have said no. We should have taught our God the justice that was in our hearts. We should have stood up to him. He is not good. He has simply been strong. He's simply been on our side.
So how in the end were you able to rationalise or overcome these doubts about the nature of God and his humanity and your own faith?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to what I said before, that in the end you exhaust all the intellectual arguments, and it's about faith, and it's about a relationship. And I kind of my starting point was really that I did meet Holocaust survivors who had lost their faith, but I also met Holocaust survivors whose faith had grown enormously through what they'd experienced and through what they'd experienced since. And I kind of thought, well, my starting point was like, well, who am I, who've experienced nothing but some difficult reading? Who would I be to lose my faith in the comfort of my office if these people went to Auschwitz and didn't lose their faith? So that was kind of my starting point, and it is in the end, it's about a relationship. There's a great quote from La Rochefort who said that a small fire is put out by the wind, but a strong fire is made stronger by the wind.
And if you had to sum up, what would you see, at least as far as you were concerned, as the main message of this play? As we said, it didn't answer a lot of unanswerable questions, but what message were you trying to portray?
I think I wanted people to feel the arguments rather than to hear the answer. You know, to kind of experience both the despair and the hope. I mean, there are people in that play who give incredibly strong evidence of the presence of God in the worst circumstances. And I kind of think, well, if you stay open and if your faith stays intact, you will find God in the worst circumstances. And we know from personal experience, don't we, that it's people who've had the hardest time have the strongest faith. You know, that you, if you want to go to find people with great faith, there'll be people at the bedside of their sick child. There'll be people in Haiti today who will have the strongest faith.
So what did the experience as a whole teach you?
Well, I mean, the heritage that I've taken from it personally is I have a much better prayer life. I have a much more dynamic prayer life. I put much more of myself into my prayer. I've learnt that from Judaism, and I suppose that's another strong thing I've taken from it, that I have a much stronger sense of the Jewish roots of my Christian faith.
And how easy is it really to learn from the lessons of the past and ensure that this enormous evil like the Holocaust doesn't occur again?
Well, I mean, as a society, we don't seem to learn any lessons whatsoever. So, I mean, I think one reason for doing a play like this is to keep the memory of the Holocaust alive, because it is the great kind of example of how badly wrong things can go. And people know the fact of the Holocaust, but they don't understand the mechanics of it, that, you know, it took ordinary people to do those jobs. Perfectly ordinary people, you know, manned those camps and manned those ovens. And we need to remember that, you know, that we're all capable of that. It's not something in the German character or the Polish character. It's just something about the nature of power that makes us act like that. And we need to keep reminding ourselves that that can happen, I think.
I was speaking to the Catholic novelist and screenwriter Frank Boyce.